Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Ed Nelson. I'm a Shirttail relative. Linda Nelson is my sister-in-law. And so they've kindly asked me to lead the service today. And I'm glad to have the opportunity to be here in Johnstown for the service. I welcome you on behalf of the family. They're thrilled to see you here. And I know it means a lot to them at this time of grief and sorrow to have this much comfort, sustaining grace to help them. And so I trust and pray for them. We'll have the service this morning. And as we go through the service, the three daughters are going to take part, Linda and Bonnie and Carla. And each one of them, one will read the eulogy and the other two will give a poem that was a favorite. And then Brother Crabtree, Charles Crabtree, who led singing for me for so many years when I was pastor of South Sheridan Baptist Church. And he now is out in evangelistic work and does assistant pastor work at Woodside Baptist Church in Denver. And he's going to favor us with special music this morning. And so I'm going to, I've introduced them now. I'll let them, without further introduction, I'll let them take their part as they find it opportunity. And I'd like for us to just turn to the Word of God today and read a few verses of Scripture concerning this matter of death and the wonderful truth we have from the Lord Jesus Christ. The first passage I'll read is John chapter 14. What a wonderful comfort that chapter is as we look at it. John chapter 14. You'll have to excuse me. I've had a little problem with my eyes lately, and I've gotten a new Bible that's big print, and I have a hard time finding my place. But we'll read from John 14, beginning at verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, excuse me, come right on up. Just as you're coming in, I'll just pause now and let you get seats right up here. There are a few seats left here. You might, if you've got extra place in your area, there's a seat right here. Yeah. Here's another seat there. All right. We squeezed in. Okay, thank you. And if anybody else comes to us, anybody at the door, there are seats over in that area. It looks like this is quite filled here. All right. Go back to John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. So this is Jesus talking. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? In that great verse, John 14, 6, Jesus said unto him, Verily, verily, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 1 to 6. And then we'll turn to that well-known passage of Scripture, Psalm 23, and always a blessed time of comfort as we meditate on that psalm. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's where we are today. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And here's a wonderful promise. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Wonderful verses of comfort and blessing, shall we pray. Father, we're thankful today for the privilege of coming together here. We're sorry for the occasion that has called us to this time. And we know there's a sorrow in the loss of Fern. We're thankful for the family that is here to grieve her loss. We pray, minister comfort to them. May this service be a comfort to their hearts. And we know it can be because we're going to look at the Word of God. And the Bible has the answer for our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that Thou will take the Word of God today and bless it and minister to these lives, the neighbors, the friends, the loved ones that are here. And we pray that You'll meet needs. And wherever there's a need in a life for someone to decide, well, I'm going to make the Lord as my shepherd, I pray that take place also. That we'd all realize the absolute necessity of recognizing that we need a shepherd to lead and guide us. And so we're thankful that though Fern Marie Floyd has stepped out of this life, she's really had a graduation into a better life. And we're thankful that today we've known that she had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. And we're thankful for the promises we have in the Word of God that assure us, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And she's enjoying that wonderful privilege of being today in the presence of the Lord. We thank Thee that we have that comfort and that blessing in our lives from the Word of God. Use this service. Use every part of it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. While the dew is still on the roses, and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. The joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks, and the sound of His voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that He gave to me within my heart is singing. I stay in the garden with Him, though the night around me is full. But He bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling, and He walks with me and He talks with me, and He tells me I am
eldest daughter. Fern was born January 16, 1926, to Chester Earl Ballard and Mary Edna Roberts in Armstrong, Missouri. Her early childhood years were spent in Arrow, Colorado, with her parents and her brother, Gail. She and Gail spent many hours skating in the skating rink their father operated. The family traveled to various locations for their jobs, and some of that time the family lived in Idaho Springs, and eventually Fern and Gail stayed with the Ford family in Longmont, Colorado, and Fern and Gail attended Longmont High School. Fern married Carl Floyd on August 6, 1943. They resided in Longmont until Carl looked for work in the shipyards in Portland, Oregon. While in Oregon, Linda was born in January of 45. 6 months later, they traveled back to Longmont, where Carl worked as a farmhand on the Yeager farm north of Longmont. Then Bonnie was born in December of 45. In the late 40s and early 50s, the family moved to the North Denver area, where Carl and Fern worked together at the Motor Arena Cafe and later at the Tip Top Cafe. Then the summer of 1954, the family moved to a new house equipped with the family's first indoor plumbing. Carla was born then in July of 1954. Fern learned to drive after Carl was badly burned in a fire in their home during the early 60s. She worked then at Loudermilk Bakery and later on at National Speaker Company. And years later, she worked at San Francisco Music Box Company. Fern and Carl either managed or owned several businesses over the years, including a flower shop, jewelry shop, gift shop, and deli. After selling the family home, Fern and Carl spent 8 years at Silvercrest in Broomfield. They attended church services held by the Salvation Army in their apartment complex. Both Fern and Carl grew to love the Lord and Captain Tom Fenton through this ministry. They were moved to Broomfield Skilled Nursing after Fern suffered a severe heart attack and Carl's health was also failing. Fern loved to read, work crossword puzzles, do embroidery work, crochet, and work on ceramics. She loved camping, swimming, and boating. She loved her grandkids and loved to participate with all those activities with them. She and Carl had been members of the Elks Club and the Elks Camper Caravan. They also served making and delivering charity food baskets at holiday times. She and Carl also loved music, especially Lawrence Welk on Saturday night. She loved dancing so much that she even danced with her doctors and therapists at the nursing homes. Fern passed away after a bad fall and pneumonia on September 29, 2015, in Loveland, Colorado. She was a few months shy of turning 90. She was preceded in death by her parents, step-parents, brother, and husband. Fern is survived by her daughters and their husband, Linda and Don Nelson, Bonnie and Bill Wade, Carl and Ken Jacobson. She's also survived by 14 grandchildren, 32 great-grandchildren, and 3 great-great-grandchildren.
Good morning, and thank you for coming. I would like to read this poem titled The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on a tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that still can be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel. And be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash?
Face to face with Christ my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? When with rapture I behold Him, Jesus Christ, who died. I shall behold Him far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
I may be the oldest person here, I don't know. check that out right now. The fact is, the closer you get, older you get, the more you think about these things. And the more you begin to realize that life, we need something besides what we have right here. And so he said, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. I do a lot of that. I have a birthday card I send some of my friends. And the front of it shows a guy with cowboy boots on, and he's in pain and just got out of bed. And he said, the birthday card said, I hope you had lots of pain and aches and hurts, because if you don't at your age, it means you're dead. So we're going to have them. God says, we are in this tabernacle and groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought the selfsame thing, for the selfsame thing is God, for us the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, in this tent, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And here's the last verse, verse 8. And it's a great verse, a tremendous verse at a time like this. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so one who's accepted the Lord Jesus Christ has come to know the Son of God as his Savior. When it comes the time of death, that individual, we know that individual when Fern stepped out of this life, and I understand from the folk at the Salvation Army that she trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, then she's immediately in the presence of the Lord, absent from the body. Amen. And present with the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful truth. Now this matter of death is something to think about. By the way, it's the common lot of all men. And I'll give you my testimony. I was born and raised not far from here, just north of Renton, where Cactus Hill Ranch is. And my dad had that, my brother and his family farm it now. I was born and raised there, and went to Windsor High School, and I taught from there. And we had a science teacher who went to high school in those days, and I liked science, and I respected the man. And he taught us this one day. He said, there's nothing after this life, nothing at all. He said, you're going to end this life, and that'll be it. They'll bury you out here somewhere, you a terrible thing. He said, you might even be buried on the farm and just fertilize the sugar beets. It'd be awful to have that kind of philosophy. You know, years ago, Spain had conquered the world, they thought. And they owned both sides of the Mediterranean. The Spanish Armada ruled the seas. And they thought they'd conquered it all. And there at the Straits of Gibraltar, as you go in from the Atlantic into the Mediterranean Sea, there at the Straits of Gibraltar, and they owned both sides of it, they had two pillars called Hercules Pillars. And so on their coins, they put a picture of those two pillars, with those two pillars holding a banner between them, and on that banner it read, Ne plus ultra, which literally means nothing more beyond. Ne plus ultra. And so they put that up there, there's nothing more beyond. We've conquered the world. We have it all. But it wasn't too long after that Columbus sailed the ocean blue for the Spaniards and discovered the new world. And came back and said there's a new world out there. And he'd seen the Indies and the Americas and came back to tell them. And so that nation was not so proud of what they said, we've got to change our coins. Because on every coin it said Ne plus ultra. And so they redid that, all their coins, and they took off the NE, the negative, no more beyond, and just put plus ultra, there is more beyond. There's more beyond. And that's an interesting historic picture, but you know what? I'm afraid that's true of so many people today. That they think when we die, there's nothing beyond. And I've suffered under that for a time, wondering, and all you're going to get out of it is this life, and enjoy what you can while you're here. A very poor philosophy of life, but so many have that philosophy. There's nothing more beyond. And I can remember hearing that in high school, and I was living there on the farm. I didn't go to college. I had enrolled in agricultural college at Fort Collins, and I thought I had the world by the tail on a downhill pool and everything going my way. And just before college that year, 1941, the year of Pearl Harbor, Labor Day, 1941, I was working on the farm. In August and early September, in those days, we hauled the manure out of the sheep corrals and put it on the, spread it out on the farm. And I was loading manure there. And then my dad came and he said, "We've got a new loader I've ordered from a blacksmith over in Gilchrist." And he said, I brought it here and we're going to put it on our Model B John Deere. And so I did. And it was kind of fun to load it so high, and I loaded it too high. And I trotted the horses to the field, couldn't put the seat back, was standing up. And the weight of that threw the bull chain down on a big tug wheel on the rear wheel and jerked it and threw those horses. I was trying, and they went into a gallop, and I had a runaway. And I didn't know what to do. I remembered my dad and my grandpa taught me. If you have a runaway with a team of horses, jump. Get off the vehicle. So I jumped, and I missed. God had to be in it. I landed right in front of the front wheel. It did not run over me, it dragged me. And the horses were a good team, Bob and Dolly. And they stopped. And I was able to get up, and I looked around, and my clothes were pretty well torn. But I wanted my straw hat, and I saw it back behind it. I limped back and got it and got back on and said, "Let's unload the load." I did. When I got to the corral, the shock, I was in a state of shock. Not long after that, I was in the Love County Hospital in Greeley. And my dad knew a doctor in Denver who'd been raised with him on the farm. They went to a little country school together just north of Windsor ways. And that he had become a well-known doctor in Denver. Called him and asked him if he'd come up and see me. He wanted to have a doctor he knew. And they went out to talk with the doctor. When they came back in the room, I could tell they'd been crying. I had no doubt about it. I didn't know exactly what the doctor told them, but I realized, and the doctor had said he might live, but not live till morning, because my rib cage was broken. And my left lung, by the time he got there, was filled, and it collapsed, and my right lung was filling with pleural fluid in the pleural cavity. And I didn't know whether, that night I thought, "Man, what am I going to do if I die?" I hadn't thought much about that before. I thought there was no more beyond. I suddenly realized, if I die, I'd be. And so I remember turning my head to the side in that oxygen tent, and said, "Oh God, if there is a God." I didn't know for sure that there was. I went to church every Sunday, but I didn't know whether there was a God. And I wasn't even sure. And I said, "If there is a God, I'd like for you to hear my prayer. And give me enough health so I can read a Bible and find out what life's all about." Well, thank God, 6 months later, I was able to get a Bible and read. I couldn't understand it, and I laid it aside, trying to get my health back. And I didn't spend much time in it. But I never forgot one night I almost died. And there was a mailman stopped by one day at sugar beet harvest in the fall of the year. And said, "I want you to come to our church, First Baptist Fort Collins. I'd like you to come to our church. And we have a revival meeting going on there." And he said, "I'd like you to come." I'm so glad that man did that. I didn't want to go. He said, "A revival meeting." My parents said to me, "Stay away from revival meetings. That's what holy roller." I didn't want to be a holy roller. And I didn't want to go, but I respected the mailman so much that after we closed week and I, day out, and I'd eaten a bit of supper, took a quick bath, I'd go to Fort Collins, and heard Dr. Bob Jones Sr. preach. Never heard anything like that before. I'd gone to a church that didn't really preach the Bible, and in Windsor, and he preached the Bible and said, you're a sinner, you need to be saved. I didn't like it. I didn't like it again. And I went home and said I'd never go back. But as I was full of beets the next morning, I wondered what he'd say that night, make me mad. And if I weren't there, I wouldn't know what to be mad about. I went back, and I didn't like it again, but I went back another night. And Thursday night, I said, this is it. And I accepted the Lord as my Savior. And hallelujah, what God did. And I began to realize there is more beyond. You see, death is the common lot of all men. And what we're thinking about today is Fern Floyd has gone on into the presence of the Lord. And it's a common lot of all men. God asked the question in Psalm 89, what man is there that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? The answer to both of those questions is no. No one is going to live and not see death. There is one exception to that. As we come to the end of the age, and I think we're coming to it, the rapture of the church will take place, and there will be those here who will not see death, that we caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It could take place at any time. But that's the only exception. And all of us face this reality of death. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto man once to die. That's an appointment that I have to meet. And so do you. As it is appointed unto man once to die. And after that, the judgment. And so we need to turn to the Bible to find out, you know, when it comes to this matter, what your life going to be, you need to establish an authority. And the best authority you can get for the life you have is get your authority out of the Word of God. Now, I'm a Baptist, but you know, better not just say the Baptist Church is my authority. You better say the Bible is my authority. And I'm going to stand on the Word of God. How precious is this book divine? By inspiration given. Light is a lamp, its doctrine shine, to guide our souls to heaven. It sweetly cheers our broken hearts in this dark world of tears. Life at light and joy it still imparts, and quells our rising fears. This lamp through all the tedious night of earth shall guide our way, till we behold the clearer light of God's eternal name. And so we need, there's another poem, let me give you a last stanza of that. The minds of earth, the minds of earth and their wealth cannot this volume buy in teaching us the way to live. It taught us how to die. And so we need to come to the Word of God for understand what life is all about and how important that is. God says in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no man that can take and direct the spirit, neither will it be directed in the day of death, for there is no discharge in that war. God says all of us face the war of death, and there's no discharge. We're going to face it. Well, and then after that experience when I accepted the Lord, I've lived every day realizing I don't know how much time I have, but I need to say I'm going to live to the glory of God and honor the Lord. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, though our outward man, that's his tent, perish. The inward man is renewed day by day. And so it's very important that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The only way to be ready for this time of death that is to come to all of us, that's an appointment to me, is to have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your Savior. He said it in the verse I read earlier. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. no man comes unto the Father but by me. A lot of people say there are a lot of ways to heaven. There's only one way according to the Bible, and that is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. And so in verse 6 of chapter 5, he says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Amen. One of these days, this tent is going to be laid aside. And I'll have the privilege, because I accept the Lord, not because of anything I've done, not because of any goodness I've done. I remember when, two or three years ago, I had a hip transplant. And they were teaching us to climb the steps. And they told us that now you take, going up, you take your bad leg first, you go up and come down. It's the opposite. And they said the way to know that is bad people, good people go up and bad people go down. I said, that isn't true. That's not true. And by the way, I had two therapists who gave me the same thing. They must have been trained in their training. Good people go up and bad people go down. I'm going up and I'm a bad man. Because I'm a sinner. And the only hope I have is that God forgives my sin. And I have eternal life by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches bad people who recognize their need of the Lord Jesus go up. And good people need to recognize they're still sinners and that they need a Savior. I remember being in the Weld County Hospital. And I told you we attended a church that didn't preach the Bible. And while I was lying there in that oxygen tent, the pastor of that church came by to see me the next morning. And here's what he said. He never read a verse of Scripture. He never prayed. He just looked in there and said, "Ed, I'm glad to tell you, you've been a very good boy." And I think maybe I had been, because my parents were people who believed in morals. And they taught us kids morality. And I've tried to live that way. I never heard my dad ever use a swear word, and I doubt if he ever did. And I was taught you, and I think, unless I've done it in my sleep, I think I can tell you there's never been a swear word come out of my mouth. Because I was trained that way. But that doesn't get you to heaven. The only way to heaven is to recognize that even with all of my goodness, that thank God there was a preacher that my aunt and uncle knew, a Swedish man in a Swedish church up in Eden. And he came over to see me, and he said, "Yay, son," he preached in Swedish a lot, "Yay, son, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Oh, that's good, that's good." And as he walked out the door, I thought, I lied to him. I don't know what he was talking about. And that bothered me. I lied about this important thing. Well, that was just characteristic, because every one of us, the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us is a sinner. And every one of us needs a Savior. And that's why he says here, we can know. A lot of people say you can't know that. I know it. The Bible says we can know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, of this tent, were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. We know that. And God says over in 1 John 5:13, "These things that are written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." So the important thing here at a service like this is for each of us to ask, where am I going? You say, "Well, I thought we should have a service and just talk about Fern." Fern is in eternity. Hallelujah. She's with the Lord. Amen. And her eternal destiny is set. And this service isn't just for her. It's for all of us who are gathered to stop and give thought. Think of this verse in Ecclesiastes 7:2. "It is better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting. For that is the end of all flesh. and the living will lay it to heart. He said, it's better to go to the house of mourning than to ask for you. What's he saying? It's better to come to a service like this, a funeral service, a memorial service, than to go to a banquet. Some people say, I like banquets, but I don't like funerals. God says it's wiser to go to the funeral than to the banquet. Mm. Because that's the end of all flesh, and the living will lay it to heart. The living then can say, one of these days, I have an appointment. I need to be sure I'm ready. Now, as we come to the end of the chapter, we have something here that tells us how we can be ready for that appointment. And I'll just skip to the end of the chapter, verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. We all need that, to be reconciled. Now here's how it takes place. For God has made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin. Jesus Christ was made sin in our place, and he had no sin. He didn't die on the cross for any sin that he had. He died on the cross for my sin and your sins. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So how do we come to know the Lord? Number one, recognize there's sin. God says in James 1, if we keep the whole law and yet offended in one point, we're guilty of all. So you say, I do a pretty good job. But if you're honest, I believe you're going to say, but I do recognize there's sin in my life. And that sin has to be taken care of. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death. So there's a price to pay. And then it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you need to see that you need to have Jesus Christ and him alone. And the only hope any of us can have for eternity is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He, God, has made him, Christ, to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So I'd invite you today at this stage to examine your own heart and to say, I do need the Lord. And recognize that we're all going to come to this day. One of these days, there'll be a service like this for me. I don't know how long it'll be, but my days are short, I know that. And there'll be a service like this for me. Might be a few flowers. And by the way, these flowers, they're a blessing. You know how they become flowers? Something died. A bulb died. A seed died. And here we have the beauty. And so the Bible says in the resurrection that we're going to have the beauty of a flower in our lives by the grace of God. He died for us that we might have eternal life. And so each one of us, I said there might be some flowers for me. A few people might come, I don't know. But there will be a service like this for me. I need to be sure I'm ready. And the same is true for you. And I'd ask you to make sure you are ready by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the promise. And the promise of Psalm 23:6, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That promise is given to those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ by faith, have received him. And I ask you today to make absolutely sure in your own life that you're ready to meet God. Thank God that Fern is in heaven today. Praise the Lord. She's there seeing the Lord. For your relatives, I tell you, you can take comfort in the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And he said this in John 14:19, because I live, ye shall live also. And so, because of his resurrection, we can have life. And then we read another comfort, and that's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those who died in Christ, body in the grave, spirit in heaven, they'll be raised to have a glorified body, spirit, in a glorified body in heaven, in the eternal state. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive, who are believers and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So you've got the wonderful truth of the resurrection, the wonderful truth that Jesus is coming again, and you can comfort your hearts with those truths. And all the rest of us, let's make absolutely sure we belong to the Lord. Father, I pray today that thou would use this service. We thank thee that Fern Floyd is in the presence of the Lord right now. Thank you for that. And thanks that she accepted the Lord Jesus according to the testimony I've received. I pray that you'll bless all of us today, and every one of us, to put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and really believe on Him who gives everlasting life. So Lord, work in lives today. And any who are here who trusted Christ but haven't been living to glorify God with their lives, will you work in their lives and say, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for that day and have a life that's been honoring to the Lord Jesus. So work in all of these lives, Lord, in Jesus' name. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you, I'm not going to ask any more than this, is there any here who would say, I really do have a need in my life, and you lift your hand and ask me to pray for you. I'll pray for you. I'll go beyond that. I will pray for you. Anyone raise your hand today and say, pray for me. I really do have a need in my life. I'd love to pray for you. Would you slip it up right now, anywhere? Father, we pray the Spirit of God would bless today and give us seed to think about from the Word of God. Thanks for the memorial today. Bless this family. Comfort their hearts in this loss and give them grace to go on to serve thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to read a letter from heaven. I'm going to attempt to read a letter from heaven. When tomorrow starts without me, and I'm not here to see, if the sun should rise and find your eyes filled with tears for me, I wish so much you wouldn't cry the way you did today. While thinking of the many things we didn't get to say, I know how much you love me, as much as I love you. As each time you think of me, I know you'll miss me too. When tomorrow starts without me, don't think we're far apart. For every time you think of me, I'm right there in your heart.
Precious name of the Savior, the sweetest name in the universe, we thank you. Now for the food. You are so good to us. Today we'll enjoy the provision by your hand of mercy and grace. Thank you for all the folks that made the effort to provide, and
Amen.
The folks who came here today, and the way that you gave each person ears to hear. Oh God, help us to remember that it isn't just the hearing, but it's the doing. And so we give you the praise, all glory to God, as you bless the food to our hearts and our lives, for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen.